Hello and welcome to the Quarantine Diaries by Marta Jepp. Day 13. La crise. March 31st, Tuesday. So, I wake up naturally at 8, which is progress, but linger in bed and fall asleep again, no progress. Managed to get up in time. And I don't know what's with Tuesdays, but I find them pretty dreadful. So I take action on my random playlist and play Meghan Trainor's Badass Woman as I'm preparing breakfast, because I need to set the Tuesday mood on really like a lot. Random playlist knows where I'm coming from and plays Stevie Nicks' The Dealer next. Yes, random playlist. Now we're talking. I have breakfast and sort myself out for the day. And today I pick another summery skirt and put makeup and red lippy on, because let's conquer dreadful Tuesday on the last day of March. Go onto my emails and I can see, oh my God, Honesty Student has submitted. Miracles exist. There is some hope in Honesty Student to become a keen one. I check his piece of research. Oh well. He's gone a little bit over the dramatic with the answers and only attaches a YouTube video as a main source. But I let it pass this time because he submitted a time. So, you know, one step at a time. It's all right. I finished everything planned sooner than I expected. So I put Grease on and dance for a while as my daily workout. Get a shower, but don't wash my hair because I'm working on the hair challenge gradually. Heat what I have left of the mushy pea pasta, bloody hell, and pour another insane quantity of parmesan on top. And I'm finally done with it, and I won't have to eat it again anymore, ever, ever. Mum checks up on me, and I tell her about the mushy pea pasta. And she asks me why on earth I would buy pea pasta when I hate peas. Yeah, I tell her it was a collective apocalyptical pressure that made me do it. And she gets it. I mean, we've all been there over the last weeks. Finish lunch and get on to my next task. What's going on with my tongue? To do for today, which is finding a monologue for the showcase. And it's been a little bit of a struggle because I don't really know what to look for. So many choices. So Elena recommends me a couple of websites and I finally find a monologue that suits me. Carla, a psychologist in her 30s, loses it with one of her teenage patients. And I could see myself in that monologue every time I lose it with one of my students. I can feel that this one, I can get it right. It only takes picture one of my students and just let the feelings flow. So exciting. I was meant to have a busy evening, but somehow it's not busy anymore. Drama club has been cancelled for today and the live meditation practice is tomorrow and not today. So I guess I have plenty of time now. I catch up with Mum and check up on how she's doing, and she's feeling better. I'm glad. She tells me what she's planning to cook for the week. Finish with Mum and catch up with Dad. He's been practicing something on the guitar and now he's making croquettes, music and cooking. Well, I have the music. The cooking will have to wait a little longer. I'm planning to watch a movie for the first time in a whole week, but somehow I end up caught up on Instagram watching comedian Jack Whitehall cutting his hair on a live story. I mean, but it's me and 6,000 people. So I can feel quarantine madness is really kicking in. And at some point, someone mentions, this is too nerve-wracking, I can't look. You know what? I have to say I'm feeling the same way. I get even more tense when connection with hairdresser Nassar gets lost and he's standing in the middle of his bathroom with a bunch of hair on one hand and he sees it's about to make a move. And I'm like, just don't cut it yet, for heaven's sake, just wait for the reconnection with Nassar. It's so hard to digest my salad with so much tension in the air. Some others lose their faith and they plead for a shave. But I'm intrigued now. How is it? What's going to happen? Luckily that there is a happy ending. He looks all right. And he seems satisfied with the result. More than satisfied. He's very proud of it. And someone comments, he looks like a mix between Beetlejuice and Meatloaf. Right. I can't really compute that. Anyway, hairdresser Nazar, he warns the audience not to try it at home unless we have the proper tools. It can be very dangerous, right? Just, you know, massive stylish suicide, probably. I'm thinking about it anyway, cutting my hair, but I look around and only have my crafting scissors, so I guess that's a no. So I don't have any other choice than being Rapunzel and waiting to be saved by my Edward Scissorhands when we're back to safety. For now. I'm also surprised that I realised that this moment is likely to become my highlight of the day. I think I need to start making plans. Seriously. So, I finally choose my movie and go to classic Disney, Sleeping Beauty. Because I just love the artwork and I think that's why it's one of my favorite classic movies from the Disney universe. But this time, I end up reaching new conclusions I hadn't thought of before, somehow. So the first one is that I turn into Maleficent when I teach, clearly. And she's my hero, honestly. She is the queen of passive aggressiveness. Best behavior management ever. She's an expert. And I just love when they ask, oh, aren't you annoyed? And she's like, oh no, not at all. I'll just send a death course on your newborn daughter to show you I don't care having been invited to your stupid party, you losers. And bloody hell, girl, that's power. I can see myself when students don't turn in their homework on time. I'm kind of like that. So I guess adulthood makes you see villains under a very different light. The second one is Aurora is horny. Because, I mean, come on, Aurora. So a total stranger grabs you out of the blue and starts dancing with you and you're not bothered. Because he's hot. And then you think, oh, I met you in a dream and walk and you're cool with that. But don't give him your name because you shouldn't talk to strangers. Right. But then when he's going real and he asks you for your name, then you go from manic, you never ever ask for my name, ever, creepo, I'm never going to give it to you, to, oh, well, let's meet this evening in my place in less than 2 seconds. I can feel some teenage hormonal revolution is going on there. And also the fact that she would change her whole kingdom for a bloody date. I mean, I get her, though. We've all been there, right? Yeah. But I can't help but wonder what would have happened had there been a woman in the script team. I guess Aurora would have played harder for sure. 100%. Third one. And I think it's the most important realization I've had in the movie. Meriwether is a real villain of the movie. Because, honestly, I just can't stand her. She's the most annoying character in the Disney universe. Not the movie, but the Disney universe. She is the one who provoked the whole mess in that family. Seriously, Meriwether. How on earth you thought it was a good idea to say, we don't want you here, to the mistress of evil? Like, really? And all those complaints. Oh, come on, get a grip, girl. I mean, she's the mistress of saying the wrong things at the wrong time, all the time. And I think everyone would have been way happier, way sooner had she shut her mouth on time, really. Now I remember, I used to have a professor of mine, I used to call her Meriwether. There was too much resemblance in that. Anyway, after much excitement for today and for the evening, I call it a day because tomorrow I have yoga at 8 and my body needs to be fully rested for a muscle killer session. I think one thing is for sure, being on quarantine is giving me so many insights. I can feel myself wiser.